Thanks, Ben and the team. Add my welcome to that of Michael's. It's great to be here. It's great that you could join us tonight and share together with us in our service. And if you have the time, do stay afterwards for supper with us. It'd be great to get to know you a little bit better, especially if you are visiting. It's always nice to meet visitors here. My name's Dave, one of the pastors here. And tonight we're going to be looking at Psalm 139. So you'll need a Bible. If you brought one, you'll need that. It'll be helpful to have that to follow along. We will put the words up on the screen, but it'd be great to have it there with you. For those of you that are still wanting to sponsor kids to come along to Teen Street, you can still do that. There's still time to donate to help young people get to Teen Street. So if that was on your heart, if you wanted to do that, I know somebody spoke to me after the service this morning and asked about that. Yes, there's still time. You can do that. Just pop that into the offering next week or donate that online with the information on Teen Street. I want to ask a question tonight. How well do you think you know God? Maybe ask the question a different way. What are your thoughts about God? What are the first thoughts that come to your mind? If you kind of had to sum it up in a sentence or just in a few words, you know, what are your thoughts about God? It's pretty safe to assume by the nature of the fact that you're here tonight that you have some thoughts about God. Perhaps that's the reason you've come to church. The reason why maybe you came this morning, you came again tonight, is because you do. You know God and you have some thoughts about him, and that's why you're here. Maybe you're here tonight because you're hoping you might learn a little bit more about God. Maybe you're here and you're not yet sure in your thinking. You haven't kind of put all the pieces together yet about who God is or who God might be. You've still got some questions maybe that you'd like to have answered. And so you've come tonight to kind of check God out, but you might have some thoughts about God. Certainly as we read the Bible, as we read the scriptures, this idea of knowing God, the fact that we can know God, it's a key theme throughout the scriptures. It's a key idea, this idea of knowing God. So particularly obvious in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 9, actually this wasn't our text for tonight, but you can turn to it if you want. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. This is what God said through the prophet Jeremiah. And it kind of captures this whole theme that runs right throughout the Old Testament of knowing God. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. That's kind of the key thought, this key theme, this idea that knowing God is of primary importance for us. As we read the scriptures, as we read into the New Testament, we come to understand that knowing God is, it's not just knowing facts and information about God. It's not enough just to know God's commands or his commandments and just to keep those. But rather this idea of knowing God actually means having more than just facts, more than just information. It's about having a relationship with God. Truly knowing God, as the Bible explains it to us, means coming to know God and experience him in a personal way. So it's important what we think about God. And I hope you have something there as I ask that question. Because I think our thoughts about God will, in a way, reflect something of the nature of our relationship with God. The way we answer that question, the way we think in that first moment. Yeah, what do I know about God? Who do I think he is? I think that will, in some way, reflect our relationship with God. Philly, one of the writers and theologians, a guy by the name of A.W. Tozer, one of the guys that I really have enjoyed reading. He once said that whatever fills our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Whatever fills our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Because he understands it's about relationship with God. How we think about God highlights the status of our relationship with God. So let me ask that question again from a different angle. Tonight, how is your relationship with God? How's that going? We just finished a lengthy series on relationships. Over a number of weeks, we looked at a whole gamut of ideas and topics around the idea of relationships. Pastor Michael last week wrapped up for us from Colossians chapter 3. And the point last week was to see the idea that relationships are the context with which we express what we have and what we are as Christians. It was a great way to finish that series. Relationships are kind of like the context with which we express what we have and what we are as Christians. But we're Christians because we're in a relationship with Jesus. That's the truth. God's Holy Spirit indwells us. We've been made right with God. And it's because of our relationship with Jesus that we've been brought into relationship with God the Father. So if you're here tonight and you can answer that question and say, I know God, I'm in relationship with Him, that's great. Remember that it's not just an intellectual or a head knowledge about God, but that's a personal relationship with God. It's always such a great tragedy when some people never move beyond information or just facts about God. They never move to that personal relationship with God. You know, some people can spend years listening to sermons and reading the Bible. Some people even teach the Scripture and not enjoy a close personal relationship with God. And I think that's a tragedy. Friends, our greatest relationship is with the God who made us. Our greatest relationship is not our boyfriend or girlfriend or even our husband, our wife, but our greatest relationship is with the God who made us. So I think it's important that we ask ourselves that question. How's our relationship with God going? Tonight I want us to take a few moments by thinking about this relationship that we have with God, our Heavenly Father. We're going to do that by looking at a psalm, a prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139. Before we get to that, one other thing I'll say just before we open up Psalm 139. I think that sometimes when we think about our relationship with God, this idea that we can know God in a personal way, I think that maybe if you're like me, the struggle at times is because of how big God is, how immense God is. You know, Scripture tells us in so many ways just how big God is. He's vast. He's beyond our ability to fully comprehend. Now you think about the fact that God created the universe. You know, in Isaiah chapter 40, speaking of God, it says, God's speaking through the prophet Isaiah there, he says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? It's Isaiah 40 verse 12. Isaiah 40, 25 and 26. To who will you compare me? This is God speaking. To who is my equal? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these things? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. God is huge. And he created all that we know. Isaiah chapter 40 there says that he has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. That's how big God is. I don't know how much water there is in the ocean. I didn't know. I looked it up just because I could. 1.3 billion cubic kilometers. It's a lot of water. Isaiah says he measured the water in the hollow of his hand. He created the universe. He calls the stars out one by one. Not one is missing. Yeah, our solar system is huge. The Bible tells us that God marks it out. He measures it out with the width of his hand. Now, scientists tell us that our solar system is maybe 9 billion kilometers across. There's over 100 million stars in our Milky Way galaxy alone, but that's just one of billions and billions of galaxies. And our universe apparently is expanding, increasing in size. It's huge. These few verses from Isaiah give us this grand sense of the bigness of God. He's huge, and it does my head in. We can't comprehend it. Sometimes we might feel like we can't ever truly know God because he's just too big. Maybe he's beyond knowing. But I think, friends, that's a mistake if we stay there. If we just think that God is too big, he's beyond knowing. That puts up a barrier to our relationship with him. Because yes, he is vast. He is immense. He is infinite. He is beyond our comprehension to fully understand. He's all of those things. But God is also intensely intimate. And that's what we're going to find in Psalm 139 tonight. He is intensely intimate. He's intensely personal. We've been created for a relationship, to be in relationship with each other, but most importantly, to be in relationship with our God. And that's what we're going to have a look at in Psalm 139 tonight. Hopefully, see something of the intimacy of relationship that God has with us, that we can have with God. Hopefully, we'll see something through David's prayer here, the beauty of the relationship that we can have with him. Because I think we see in here, in Psalm 139, that God knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. I think we'll see that God is always present with us. He is big, he is huge, but he is always with us. And he holds us. He sustains us, he protects us. Yes, we see God is powerful, powerful to create. But he also is powerful to order and direct our lives. I think we'll see those three things in this psalm tonight. Psalm 139, I probably should read it. That's a pretty long introduction. Let's have a look at this psalm. We're going to see three things to begin with. There's actually four stanzas or four groups of six verses in this psalm that we'll read. And the psalmist helps us to understand three things to begin with about our relationship with God. One is that God knows everything about us. Number two is God is always with us. Number three is God created us and he orders our life. Wonder if that gives you comfort or makes you uneasy to know that God knows everything about you, to know that God is always with you, to know that God orders your life. Does that give you comfort? Does it make you a little bit uneasy? Look at the first six verses of Psalm 139. David prays and says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in. Behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Starts off and he prays and gives us this understanding that God is so intimately involved with us, his creation. The relationship is so close between us and our Creator because God knows everything there is to know about us. He knows us completely. Look again at the words that he uses in verses 1 to 6 to highlight that truth. In verse 1, he says that God has searched me. It's an intense searching. It's like he's saying, God, you've dug deep down into my life. You've examined me. Not only has he searched me, but he knows me. He doesn't just know us by way of facts or information, but he knows far more than we could ever imagine. He knows everything there is to know about us. Look at verse 2. He knows when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You ever stop to ponder that God understands and knows our thoughts? He knows what we're thinking. Verse 3. He comprehends our coming and going. He discerns when we sit and when we rise. Another translation of that verse could be that he scrutinizes our path. He examines where we go and what we're doing. Not only that, in verse 3, he's familiar with all our ways. We can't get away with anything, I guess would be another way of saying that. He knows us. He knows what we're like. Verse 4, he knows not just what we think, but he knows what we say. He knows my words before they're on my tongue. Even before I speak a word, God knows what I'm going to say. You ever stop to ponder that? God knows your words, what you're going to say, what you're going to think. It's a little bit scary. So that means that God knows every harsh and unkind, angry or lying word that I've ever said. Sure, he knows every kind and gracious, wise or edifying word as well too. But he knows it completely. God knows all there ever is to know about us. Completely surrounds us. David says that in verse 5 there, you hem me in. It's quite literally like he's besieging me. It's a word they would use when an army comes in and encamps around a town. You hem me in. You're behind me. You're before me. You've got your hand on me. You're holding me by your sovereign hand. You ever stop to ponder that? Does it encourage you tonight, or the fact that God knows you completely, better than you know yourself? Does it make you a little bit anxious? It's certainly a big idea. David's response in verse 6 shows us that he thought the same. He says there, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to attain. It's almost like David's saying, this does my head in to know that you know me this completely. You know what I'm going to say. You know what I've done. You know what I'm doing. I can't trick you. You're familiar with all my ways. You know what I say. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to attain. This does my head in. This is huge. God would know me so well. And I think the point is, David knows that God still loves him. God knows him so well. He knows all these things about David. But David also knows that God loves him still. And I think it's right that we would probably cringe a little bit when we ponder that thought, that God knows us that well. Because there are words that we've said that we wish we could take back. There are thoughts that we've thought that we know were sinful or wrong. Maybe there's places that we've been or things that we've done that we know were wrong for us. We face the reality that God knows us that well, it can be a bit scary. But David knows what Scripture tells us, that God knows us that well and he still loves us. Remember that wonderful, encouraging verse, Paul wrote to the Romans, Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. If you want to turn there now, it's good to read it again. Romans 5 verse 6. Paul says, "You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It's a wonderful, wonderful thought. To know that God knows us completely, and yet he still loves us. Still intimately desires a relationship with us, so much so that he would go and send his Son to make the way for us to come into relationship with him. That should do our head in. That's amazing grace. That is absolutely amazing. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me," David prays, "too lofty for me to attain." It's wonderful when we recognize and accept Christ's death for our sin. But what if we're not there yet? What if we haven't put our faith or hope or trust in Jesus? You know, to know that God knows us completely, he knows that all we've done. I think sometimes we might make us feel like running away from God. Might make us feel like we need to hide. Back to Psalm 139, we read the next six verses, verses 7 to 12. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." He's asking the question, where can I go from your spirit? Where could I flee from your presence? If I go up, if I go down, if I go east, if I go west, I can't go anywhere, David says. Because even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. David acknowledges that God is always present with us. We can't run or hide from him. Even darkness doesn't help. Look at the next couple of verses there. "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." David's capturing this idea that nothing stops the gaze of God. Nothing stops his vision. Nothing stops his desire to pursue relationship with us. There's no way we can put ourselves outside of his reach. Nothing we've done or said or could possibly do. We cannot escape God's presence. Again, does that give you comfort tonight? Does that maybe make you cringe? Because if you're trying to run, if you're trying to hide, that's a harsh reality. You can't escape the presence of God. But again, you don't need to. Because he loves you. So take comfort in that fact. Wherever you go, wherever you are, you're never alone. God's presence is always with you. It's interesting, we can maybe think or try to ignore God. The reality is, as David prays here, we can't avoid him. His presence is always with us. For those that know God, that's a great comfort to us, isn't it? That God is with us. In every season of life, in every trial that we face, in every circumstance, in every place that God may call us on this earth, He is with us. He is there. In safety and prosperity, in turmoil and hardship, God is with us. A wonderful comfort that is for those who know and love Him. The third thing that we see here about our relationship with God, as David prays, is that God created us. He orders and directs our lives. Part of the reason why God knows us so well is because He made us. Look at verses 13 through to verse 18. He says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All of the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Some of the most precious in all Scripture, these words, this prayer of David here. Yeah, to summarize that or to sum these verses up, it's like he's praying, he's saying, "God, even before Mum gave birth to me, you were there. You had a hand in creating me. You were the sovereign power that brought me into being. And I thank you that you've made me. I acknowledge your hand and your power in bringing me to this earth." And he's acknowledging also here that God orders and directs his life. Before even one of his days was written in God's book, he knew the number of them. God did. That's what he said there in verse 16. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." It's an acknowledgement of God ordering and directing his life. God's sovereignty displayed in creation, in bringing us to be, and in his providence, in his caring for us. And David's response to all of that, again, is he's encouraged. It gives him great comfort because he knows God. He's in relationship with God. And this truth gives him great comfort, great joy. He says that there. Verse 14, "I praise you." It overwhelms, it overflows in him in praise. This is a great comfort to David. Verse 17, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." He is confident in the presence of God. And he's confident in the sovereignty of God in ordering and directing his life. I think there's a hint there in the end of verse 18. "When I awake, I'm still with you." Some commentators have suggested that perhaps he's even thinking about the fact that God's ordaining his days. He's even looking forward to his death. And he's saying, "God, even when I die, even when I wake again, I'm going to be with you in your presence because you have a plan. You have ordained my days. I don't even need to fear death because I'm that confident in your power. I'm that confident in your presence." It's a wonderful, wonderful thought. So those first three things that we see there then, God knows us, he knows us completely. He knows us better than we know ourselves. The second thing, there's nowhere that we can go to escape God's presence. He's always with us. And the third thing there, God created us and he orders and directs our lives. Kind of get a sense of the intimacy with which God is involved in our lives. The intimacy in which he desires the relationship with us. We kind of feel like there's a response that's required here. I mean, how can we not respond to these things, these truths? That God knows us completely and he still loves us. That he's always with us. And that he directs our lives. How do we respond? I think there's a couple of ways that we can respond. We see that in the remaining verses there. At first glance, verses 19 to 22 seem a little bit out of place. Let's read them and see if you feel this way. David moves from this wonderful joy and praise at God's power in creating him and directing him. And then he prays this in verse 19, "If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them and count them my enemies." You kind of read that at first glance, you think, is that a little bit out of place? He just talked about this wonderful intimacy of God knowing us and loving us still and surrounding us with his presence and protecting us and creating us and directing the path of our life. And all of a sudden, David's praying and talking about his hatred for God's enemies. Where did that come from? I think this comes out of David's response to this wonderful knowledge of this intimate relationship we have with God. David desires to live a life of holiness. His response is to be in relationship with God. And the scripture shows us that God is a holy God. And he calls us to a life of holiness, to live a life obedient to his word and in response to all that he has done for us. David is on God's side. He's often called a man after God's own heart. His heart's desire was to respond by living a life of holiness, living a life that pleased God. And here David, in a way, articulates that desire by saying, "God, you know what? I understand this wonderful, intimate relationship that we can have with you. And yet the reality is we live in a world where there are people who are against God, who are not wanting to respond, to accept that relationship. There are people who are working hard against the cause of God and the plan of God and the purposes of God. And David's praying a prayer saying, God, would you just come and deal with that? In your justice, would you just come and destroy these ones who reject you so, who rise up against you, who misuse your name, who hate you?" What he's saying is, he's saying, "God, I desire to live a life of holiness in response to your offer of relationship to me." One of the ways that manifests itself for David here is he wants nothing to do with wicked men. He wants nothing to do with their wicked ways. He actually denounces it. This is kind of his way of praying against that. He's saying, "God, that's not me. That's not what I want to be like. I see that. That's not a life of holiness. That's actually an active working against your plans. And that's not what I want." One of the ways we can respond to this wonderful, intimate relationship God offers us is to seek to live a life of holiness. to recognize that we live in a sinful world. It's not all right, this side of heaven. We need to trust in the sovereignty of God, trust in His plan for our lives, trust in His plan for this world, but continue to seek to live a life of holiness. And the second way that we can respond is what David prays in verses 23 to 24, where we finish tonight. And that is that we can respond by inviting God into deeper relationship with us, into deeper fellowship with us. Look at what he says in the closing verses there. Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Kind of takes his eyes off the sinful world, off those who would wickedly work against the plans and the purposes of God. And he brings it back to his relationship with God. That's ultimate. The reality is we need to ask ourselves the question, how's our relationship with God? Not how's theirs, but how's ours? And David comes back to that place of priority, of seeking deeper fellowship with God. And he turns his thoughts to his own heart. And he says, God, is there any wicked way in me? You know, it comes off the back of his response to live a life of holiness. He wants deeper fellowship with God. And he invites God to come in a deeper way. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Show me if there's any offensive way that's left in me. Because I want a deeper relationship with you. I want deeper fellowship with you. I want to be led towards that everlasting joy. Relationship with you for all eternity. It's what we've been designed for, friends. It's ultimately where we're heading. David responds by opening himself up to deeper fellowship with God, inviting God to search him, to know him more. How's your relationship with God? Is this an encouragement to you tonight? I pray that it is. Don't leave here feeling anxious. Yes, God knows us completely, but he still loves us. In spite of our sin, in spite of our failings, he sent Jesus while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. He offers us relationship, personal experience of God in a powerful way. We would love you to know that wonderful comfort of God's presence with you always. You can't escape him. Even if you reject him tonight, even if you walk out of here and still say no, God, he's still with you. God made you, created you, and he orders and directs your life. You can ignore God, but you can't avoid him. Our response tonight. Perhaps like David, you're seeking to live a life of holiness. You're ready to open up and invite God into deeper fellowship with you. Maybe there's some sin or something that you're holding back in your life. Just give it to God tonight. And maybe moving into deeper fellowship with God means you've got to pick up the Bible and read it again. Maybe you've stopped doing that. You know, again, it's not just facts that you need about God. It's a personal relationship with him. You need to read about who he is and what he's done. Spend time in prayer. Be open with God. Be honest. Maybe you are trying to run. Know tonight the wonderful truth of this psalm that we can't ever run. He seeks us out as he desires a relationship with us. A wonderful encouragement to us tonight. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you that you have given us your word, and Lord, that you have spoken these things to us. Thank you that though you are immense, vast, you are so other than us. We are created beings. We can't ever fully comprehend all that you are. But God, yet in spite of this, you are intensely intimate and you desire a relationship with us. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, that makes this possible. Thank you that you sent your Son while we were still sinners, that even though you know us completely, God, you love us. And I just pray, Lord, tonight that we would respond to your grace, we would respond to that invitation, that we would see our relationship with you as primary, as most important. Lord, that we would take that time just to ponder again how we're going with you, what our response is. Lord, we pray that we might take comfort tonight in these truths. Lord, that you would search our hearts. Lord, that you would show us if there's any way in us that is offensive to you. Lord, let us be open to you and invite you in so that we might know that joy of fellowship with you, our God and our Creator. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.